Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to BBC's award-winning news podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get current affairs podcasts like Global News, Americast and The Global Story, plus other great BBC podcasts from history to comedy to true crime, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.
I'm James Jackson, and this is the documentary African Babelfish from the BBC World Service.
Try saying something in Zulu from now.
In the science fiction series Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, a tiny alien fish called the Babelfish fits in your ear and allows simultaneous translation between all interplanetary languages. In the modern world, we have apps for that, and I'm testing one with Modier, a fellow journalist in South Africa.
Say, I'm sick, doctor.
Nicola, doctor, Nyangula. Okay, so I said, I'm asking for the doctor, I'm sick. And it's translated just, I'm asking for a doctor.
When the book came out in 1978, a babelfish was the product of Douglas Adams's imagination and scarcely believable. But just imagine if you could instantly understand and talk to any other person, no matter what language they were speaking. With between 1,000 and 2,000 languages, Africa's home to around one third of the world's total languages. But only a handful of these are accessible online or available in translation software. As elements of education, finance, medicine, and other crucial public services move online, speakers of local African languages are at risk of being digitally left behind. But now, a group of young African scientists, linguists, and entrepreneurs called Masakane want to solve this problem by harnessing modern computing technology and artificial intelligence, making speech-to-speech translation more accessible across the continent. Their efforts were sparked by one member's attempt to bridge one of the most elemental lines of communication, that between a mother and her son.
My mom spoke French entirely. She did understand some French that we speak, because with dad, we always speak French because he's an architect. But with mom, she would speak to us like in French, and then we would reply to her in French most of the time, if not all the time. I wouldn't say that I don't know anything, but it was very limited, to the extent that sometimes she would say something that I would never understand, and that could create like some like tensions and everything.
Bonaventure Dossou, a young computer scientist from Benin in West Africa, was studying his master's in Germany after completing a bachelor's degree in Russia. During his time abroad, he continually had trouble communicating remotely with his mother. He grew up speaking French, while she speaks Fon, a local language of Benin.
I didn't grow up speaking Fon because in the country, everything was set in a way that you were kind of mentally, like, brainwashed, if I could use that, to speak that language.
Because, French.
Yes. For instance, in high school, if you were caught speaking like any other like native or foreign or any other language, national language, you will be sanctioned.
And what kind of punishments were they?
You could be expelled from the class and then like swipe clean the courtyard of the school, maybe clean the toilet, you know, those type of things. And if you get repeated, then you could be expelled. Probably now things changed, but back then it was like that.
And how old are you now?
I recently got 27.
So this wasn't that long ago, 10 years ago. 10 years ago, you would have been punished for speaking foreign.
Yeah.
Throughout the pandemic, when Bonaventure was studying in Europe, his mother would send him voice notes. And he grew quite frustrated because there was no way of translating something he didn't understand. So, alongside his Nigerian friend, Chris Emezue, with whom he had already won a hacking contest while studying in Russia, Bonaventure set to work creating software to translate between the two languages, Fon and French. But they quickly realised this would be an uphill struggle. They didn't even have a dictionary to start with.
Chris, being curious, he was like, oh, I found this website, and yeah, look at here, like, we could literally maybe start copy-pasting the informations on the website, or maybe we could then, like, use our programming skills to scrape from the website, which was not possible.
More than 2 million people speak Fon, but it has almost no written or online presence, making it what data scientists call a low-resource language. To develop a translation app, you need more than individual words, as you would see in a dictionary, but also sentences so that the program understands grammar. When Google Translate was launched, it trained its dataset on multilingual United Nations and European Parliament documents. But the Fon Online wasn't anywhere near enough to build even this first building block of an African babelfish. So they took a different approach and crowdsourced the data they needed, creating questionnaires for volunteers and asking Beninese locals for input.
I created like a Google form and I asked people to share 5 or more. So that means at least 5 of the most used sentences. And we used that. And then I partnered with some friends. They are both linguists and they've been also doing the promotion of Fon, but in the linguistic way, for instance, creating vocabularies, books, for instance. So they've been able to help me, and then we manually curated and I corrected the translations that people provided, normalized them, and then it got us around like a data set of size 22,000 from Fon to French and vice versa, which is very almost nothing.
22,000 words?
No, sentences.
As well as sentences submitted by volunteers, the small team used one of the few books they could find, an old Jehovah's Witnesses missionary Bible translated into Fon, which took them up to 54,000 sentences. With this very limited data set, ranging from a religious text to street language, the software wasn't initially very reliable.
So you could imagine the performance with that low amount of data. The translation when we used like some automatic metrics was not that good.
But they were convinced they could develop a way to make digital translation work with far less data than typically used in existing natural language processing models.
That was back then. Now, there's been more research that we've done with a few translation. We even have that paper that was called A Few Translation Can Go a Long Way. We've built methods that with literally a few translation could actually give you a pretty decent translation system for like low resource languages.
They put their newly created software called FFR for Fon to French online with its own website and open source code so it could be used by others for free. And although the system itself was rudimentary, it became the start of something bigger.
We had a lot of traffic, people using it a lot. Even new innovations that we've done, all of that is open source. So, for instance, people have extended it like to other languages like Swahili, Hausa, Yoruba, Twi, Ewe, Bambara, like quite a lot.
But Fon is a spoken language much more than a written one. So a simple text-based translator wasn't enough. Many Fon speakers don't read or write in their native tongue, which is true across the African continent. To be more useful, their translation software would need speech recognition so that the application could also understand audio, like the voice messages favoured by Bonaventure's mum.
Let's say that I worked on speech for Fon or maybe for a few languages, for instance. Other people have used the source code, for instance, for the language, right? So it's going to be a work upon, so it's going to be some adaptation.
Yeah.
Maybe the way you process the data, maybe the way you will encode, things like that.
The source code Bonaventure created has been cited in over 1,000 academic papers and used by hospitals, NGOs and more. And that speaks to the real reason this technology can make a difference. The barriers that exist between local languages and the official one of a state can leave citizens stranded behind a digital divide. You're listening to the documentary African Babelfish on the BBC World Service.
The most famous wrestler in Iranian history.
When Ghulam Reza Takhti entered, there was chaos.
Whose legend is surrounded by mystery.
Really? Takhti died? How come?
Immediately the rumors started.
Legend of Takhti.
Was Takhti actually trying to provoke the regime?
Part of amazing sports stories from the BBC World Service.
There's this massive landslide of myth, and somewhere in there is the truth.
Search for amazing sports stories wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
In May 2024, thousands of machine learning scientists gathered for the International Conference on Learning Representations in the shiny white halls of the Viennese Conference Centre. Bonaventure came here with his informal group of African scientists, Masakane, to discuss the challenges inherent in developing translation software for thousands of languages, many of which barely exist in written form.
So I think that because of the constraint that we have, especially in the African context, we should use it as a foil to be more creative and come up with better ways of doing things. That is what I want to do for my PhD, so that those constraints are no more like a constraint, and that we could, like, we can build smaller models if we contextualize it correctly, use good metrics, good algorithms that could perform far way better than the ones that are trained on like huge things.
There's a funny Wikipedia page that represents all of the languages that the internet consists of. I can't remember the exact number, but I think it consists of 34 or 38 languages, which means that out of all of the world's 7,000 languages, the internet consists of 34 or 38 of them. Pretty obvious answer. How many of those languages do you think are African?
Five.
Zero.
One of the conference participants is Pelonomi Moiloa of Lelapa AI, a South African social enterprise aimed at increasing digital access for African citizens.
Lelapa AI is a company that is building language technology for African languages. We're on a mission to bridge the digital divide on the African continent and giving people an opportunity to participate in the digital economy through language. 1 out of 10 South Africans, 1 out of 10 Nigerians speak English at home. 3.4% of Kenyans speak English at home. And I mean, those are the previous English colonies, which is why English would be the default technology language, but also representative of the fact that most of technology is English. I mean, those three countries alone, you're looking at around 500 million people. 90% of those people then are not speaking the same language as their technology. So whether they're buying electricity on their mobile phone or doing banking on their mobile phone or through an ATM or accessing medical services through an online booking system, if somebody hasn't gone through the absolute effort of translating to make it in a local language, it's not going to be in a local language.
The world's prototype Babelfish, Google Translate, is already present in Africa. But even with some of the continent's biggest languages, it's slow and often clunky.
I know, for example, Google has an isiZulu and a Swahili translation model. I've used them myself. I don't really speak those languages, so I don't know how good they are. But we have done assessments on these translation models. And I mean, they are the very basic, not good at all. I don't know about Hausa and Yoruba, but translation models for the African continent to have in a working environment to reliably translate any kind of official text document, we don't have those.
So the fact it's on Google Translate, some of them, doesn't actually mean it's good?
No.
According to specialist in sociolinguistics, Paulin Gité, the absence of effective language policy in Africa, where the languages used by the majority are marginalised and ex-colonial languages are promoted, is a major cause of poor economic performance. Successful language translation tools could help with the lost productivity and financial penalties caused by being unable to communicate.
If we do have that access, then there's potential opportunities for people to not have to spend their last bit of money to take two taxis to travel into town for a doctor's appointment. They can just communicate to see whether there's space for them. Not going to the bank to collect your grant for you to find out that it's closed, or going to a home affairs office to do your taxes, finding out it's closed, and then having to walk back another 10 kilometers. Those kinds of things could be simplified through the digital world.
And that's the kind of progress Pelonomi is aiming for. But their long-term ambitions are greater.
At Lelapa, that is one of the things that we want to achieve, is real-time speech-to-speech for African languages and into your English, French and Portuguese. I think some people will be sad about that, specifically people in TikTok comments who like to comment in local languages so nobody can understand what they're saying. But I think it would also have incredible benefits. So, I mean, we're in the process of training machine translation models, but it's very difficult. It's going to take a while. But until we get there, there are still smaller steps that we need to achieve along the way before we get to Babelfish. But Babelfish is the end goal.
With Africa's population predicted to double by 2050, tools like an African Babelfish could be crucial in helping these societies to grow.
So, for instance, it can be used by local businesses to create customer support, for instance, on their languages. So you can think about call center, probably about hospitals, like doctors, like doing transcriptions, or maybe translation. So
you're effectively bringing all of the modern software usages of AI to lesser resource languages.
Yes, that's exactly it.
So the kind of things that maybe we take for granted now, like chatbots, for example, so it could be used for chatbots.
Yeah, it can be customized for chatbot in specific languages, for instance.
The researchers and entrepreneurs involved in groups like Masakane work together, often as volunteers, because these projects are usually done on shoestring budgets. Sharing open source code and building on each other's achievements is a key way they can work together to overcome their many obstacles.
I'm not the only one working on it, right? So I'm not pretending that I'm the only one. But yeah, other people have used the source code, for instance, for the language, right? So it's going to be some adaptation. That's why I wanted to specify that it's not something that I have the monopoly of. Like, it is something that is shared across the world. Like, maybe someone else is doing the same thing for me, but for another language. And then we use each other's source code, we use each other's resources, things like that.
After learning about these tools and how Bonaventure's source code was taking shape out in the world for languages other than Fon, I scoured LinkedIn to find someone to talk to.
Hey everyone, my name is Abigail. I'm going to be using the Kaya AI app for the first time. I'm a tree speaker, so I'm very excited about this. I want to see if it's going to work or not.
Twi is a language spoken in Ghana by about 4.4 million people, including Abigail Adeyemi, who answered my request. She was trying out the Kaya AI app by open source initiative Ghana Natural Language Processing.
I am going to sleep, which is Mekoda, so meaning I'm off to bed, basically. So let's try that and let's see if it's able to translate it accurately. Oh, you guys, did you see that? It just translated it, like, accurately. I'm even shocked that I've never used an app that could translate tree so accurately, so I'm very excited about this.
Abigail's excitement showed the progress being made in Bonaventure and Masakane's quest to develop the African Babelfish. Back in Vienna, on the sidelines of the conference I attended, I spoke with a senior computer scientist who wasn't part of the Masakane consortium. Quite the opposite. She works for a big tech company and so had to stay anonymous to be able to talk openly. But in doing so, she was able to tell me some of the more fundamental challenges with using large language model AI for African languages.
It's harder to do. The scientists are, in general, not coming from the continent. It's harder to access the data in many different ways, like just to understand what's in the data, understand how to clean it, and just basic stuff that is taken for granted with English.
She's a keen follower of the development in this field and comes back to the one crucial problem that's more than a technological challenge to address.
There is this problem of colonial languages on the African continent. And so for many countries, they don't even really have text in those languages. I mean, there will be millions and millions of speakers, but if you want to go to school, then you have to suddenly go to a school. Like for us, it would be like going to school in Hindi.
Yeah, this is one of the problems that inspired Bonaventure Dossou to develop a Fon to French translator, because he couldn't actually speak the same language as his mother. And I think that's a surprisingly common issue in communication in Africa.
Yeah, so these languages are not written. What do you do when you don't have any data? That gives a good example of how we have to rethink things, because what are you going to transcribe to if the language isn't written?
But for some of the African languages that do have a rich history of the written word, there's a surprisingly cheap and effective way to accelerate the progress of speech recognition in pursuit of the babelfish.
A good step for these big languages that are attached to Swahili, Amharic, you know, languages that actually have a good literary history, get some people to read. You know,
Amharic audiobooks for a natural language process.
Absolutely. It would change the entire landscape of speech technology for Amharic, completely shift it. What is it, like a $50,000 investment? So it's our job to prove that this is a thing to invest in.
And there has been progress coming from the big tech companies too. Google acknowledges that their African translation tools are not perfect, but says they're satisfactory enough to be usable, and despite mistakes, will be useful for a lot of people. In early July 2024, the company launched an update of their Translate that included 110 new languages, including 8 new African languages. This includes Fon, as well as Kikongo, Luo, Ga, Wolof, and others. According to the company, this was part of Google's 1,000 Languages initiative, which uses AI models to support the 1,000 most spoken languages around the world. And it turns out they used Bonaventure's code.
How did it make you feel? Something that you created in your bedroom as a student is now accessible by billions of people worldwide and useful for millions.
Yeah, so I felt happy. I felt extremely happy and extremely proud, even more when I got endorsements from people. So this work has been like very useful.
And do you think a lot of people in Benin will be using it?
Absolutely, a lot. They've already been using a lot. Without any doubt, they've already been using. Even government pages are now using it. Like we have a player who signed recently in the Bundesliga in Germany, and Bundesliga pages, they use like the translation, like they wrote something, I bet in German or in English, and then they use the form translation, they paste it on their web page. So definitely people are using it way beyond even Benin.
Bonaventure's ambitions are not limited to having his work adopted for free by big Western tech firms. But Google's investment is still a big step for the African babelfish. And he's proud that the impact of his work ended up going far beyond just his family and even his native Benin, helping Africans to keep their linguistic identities while engaging in the modern world. An idea summed up by Pelonomi Moloa of South Africa's Lelapa AI.
People are losing their languages. People are switching to English in order to have access to opportunities. And that should not be the indicator of having access to opportunities, speaking English. We should be able to remain who we are and still have those opportunities, speak our languages and still have those opportunities.
You've been listening to African Babelfish on the BBC World Service. This has been a Whistledown production and was produced and presented by me, James Jackson.
the most famous wrestler in Iranian history.
When Gholamreza Takhti entered, there was chaos.
Whose legend is surrounded by mystery.
Really? Takhti died? How come?
Immediately the rumors started.
Legend of Takhti.
Was Takhti actually trying to provoke the regime?
Part of Amazing Sports Stories from the BBC World Service.
There's this massive landslide of myth, and somewhere in there is the truth.
Search for Amazing Sports Stories wherever you get your BBC podcasts.